Welcome to the first and undebatably right now in the Eastern Iowa area, the best Cubs podcast there is coming at you, Bleed Cubby Blue, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts, John Dobson and Kyle Dell. You guys got anything for him here?
You know, just excited for the season. Hopefully we get to play it, knock on wood.
Hopefully we get at least a half season in and we'll go from there.
You know, that's what I'm thinking too. We're here, the season may not be starting for a while now. We're unsure of when it's exactly going to start, but we're here to bring a little bit of joy in your guys' life. Bring a little Cubs talk to your ears. Maybe give you a little bit of something to do on these days. I know myself here, I haven't been doing a whole hell of a lot, so maybe put a smile on your guys' faces here. So welcome to the first episode of Bleed Cubby Blue. So here we are, the Bleed Cubby Blue podcast. Just, you know, season isn't quite starting yet, not quite getting to the point that we expected it to be at this point, you know, whole coronavirus situation going down and that sort of stuff. That hot word that you probably knew was going to be brought up pretty fast as we get into this podcast here. Kind of threw things off for us a little bit with, I look forward to March Madness a lot, and that was kind of taken away. A little bit of a sad
swipe from
there.
Your feet.
Oh yeah,
hate to see it.
You really do. Taking away my little hot streak of sports betting I had going on.
Well, you go the whole month. March is here. 2 days later, it's getting taken away from me, and you hate to see it.
Well, honestly, sports. I was on my way back from state basketball, and nothing really had happened yet. I get that first little guest speak in there from Mika.
Thanks, Mika.
Hey, thanks for adding in your point of view there. But I was on my way back from state basketball on Wednesday, and I was riding there with my brother, and I got the alert that the NBA had gotten postponed, and I didn't really think a lot of it at that point, but that was the point that kind of hit me, and I was like, what is really going on here? All I'd seen really of the coronavirus had been memes. I'd been kind of taking it as a joke.
That's how I get most mine is.
Yeah, there's these things in life where you'll never forget where you were at that moment, and this is one of those times. I know I've never been alive to where there was zero sports going on where worldwide. I mean, we're at a point where we got recreational rugby, and that's about it. And, and now we go from being gifted to having all these sports and everything. Kind of puts life in perspective.
Yeah.
Here we are talking sports that aren't even going on.
Yeah.
So
we're talking a theoretical season that we're hoping that's going to go on here. Really hope so, because that was the main two things that hit me. Of course, we just talked about March Madness, but this MLB season just not starting when it's supposed to, it really hit me hard.
We got just under 20 games into spring training, somewhere around there. And I mean, opening day of spring training, I was ready to run. I mean, I love watching baseball. You get out there and then they get you going. They turn around and cancel it all together and you hate to see it. But
exactly. But you just kind of knew it was coming after the sports just one after another kept tumbling down. And then they tried starting up the conference tournaments for March Madness and they got halfway through that. What game was it? It was the Big East tournament.
St. John's and
Michigan State or no?
No, it was
Big East.
St. John's and DePaul, maybe?
Yeah, maybe
got
something like
half-time.
That. Halftime, and then they just called it all off from there. They were the last ones trying to run it. I already had bets set out on the Big Ten games.
Honestly, I saw something on Twitter earlier about a bunch of Kansas players going out, and they got word of it on the way home. They went and played, like, rec ball. After they were done, they were crying. I can't imagine being a senior, you know, freshman, just you go all this time building up for that moment.
All that work
the
of the regular
stage,
season.
And it's gone.
Yeah.
And they don't even have anything to show for it. It's just, you get a record and that's about it.
Well, you probably saw that viral picture of the Florida State players.
They
just got handed the ACC trophy and they were just kind of like awkwardly standing
right.
there. Like, what's this even for?
Yeah.
But I guess we're kind of off on a tangent there.
To go back to the Cubs.
Back to the Cubs. Yeah, and exactly. Enough on the sports world and coronavirus. But so, like I said, we're going to have a lot more content when the season hopefully actually starts. But first thing we really got for you, more on Cubs talk here, season expectations. This has been a off-season to maybe not remember as a Cubs fan. We're so used to them going out there, getting that big fish, bringing in a new guy, bringing some hope for the season.
Kipnis, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
Jason Kipnis is experience. Still... experience. Yeah, pretty much the only one who brought me nightmares from that World Series, him hitting that foul ball that I thought was a tank. But, yeah, bringing in a couple of... what it seemed like to me with their free agency, they brought in these players that were going to be low contract buys that had past success in the MLB and could maybe reach that ceiling again. And at least that's what they're hoping. From Souza to Kipnis to Jeffress, I think all three of those maybe have been all-stars at one point. I might be wrong on Souza.
Sounds good.
He did that. Yeah. Sorry. Fact check. Fact check. Let's get the stats department in here.
Mika.
Got a better take on that. But just guys that have proven that they can play at a high level in the MLB and they knew they could get for a low price, so I don't mind. Even bringing in Morrow in that conversation that they got back on a minor league deal. He's already dealing with injuries.
If we ever see him again.
Yeah, whatever. Maybe the one person that's going to be benefited from this break is Brandon Morrow.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Could get healthy enough. He pitched for the Dodgers there extremely well for the seasons that he was healthy, throwing high 90s, one of the tougher closers to hit in the game alongside of Jansen there and with the Dodgers. So if just him, and I said to this you guys when they picked up Jeffress, Morrow, Jeffress, Kimbrel, if you can get them in the 7th, 8th, and 9th back on the top of their game.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You got to get them there. You got to get them to that spot. And maybe this little break will get us there, but you never know.
And I think Kimbrel will return just because if you get him a full off season with a team, it's a
chemistry thing, too. Yeah, he came in off a long break last year, thrown into Wrigley, and he gets out there, and we're all holding our breath first time on the mound. But
can you imagine the pressure?
Yeah, a lot of expectations.
That's I'm there, I'm hollering as loud as I can, so I can't imagine a whole,
stadium just expecting the world of you because you're debatably one of the best closers ever, and you're just coming into a venue like Wrigley Field, and fans are expecting the world of you first appearance.
Yeah,
and you just took half of the MLB season basically off because of how they're dealing with contracts nowadays. We know Scott Boras is trying to get the most money out of absolutely every person that he's got. But just coming in, feeling that pressure, I can't imagine what he's going through. But now being with the team the whole offseason, full season to get ready. Again, well, I guess not a normal. Have an oddity of another season coming for him now, but still.
But at least it's time with the team, with Contreras as a catcher, with your pitching coach. It's time that you can be in the facility, or I guess not right now, but hopefully soon, but should be a little more normal of a season. Hopefully he can get back to what he was.
Yeah, and I'm hoping they've answered some of those bullpen questions that they had last year, because it ended up by the end of the season, we had two Wicks that you could probably depend on a bit. You had Kyle Ryan, and past that.
And you guys know this. Strope was on the way out.
Yeah,
it was tough to watch. Very predictable every time he came on the mound. He may have given it all, but
it's just not a good feeling when you see somebody warming up in the bullpen and you just think they're going to come out there at all. He's going to let up some hits, let up some runs. Yeah. As much as I love the guy.
We could have had a 5-run lead last year and it wouldn't have meant nothing.
Exactly.
And you just don't feel very confident
at the way he's pitching. You got Blake trying to do a reverse jinx out here.
We want to revisit that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never forget it. Last time I was here in a Cubs jersey. Yeah.
But. So we were out here at Kyle's about to watch a Cubs-Phillies game. Mm-hmm. You guys might unfortunately remember that one from the past regular season.
August, yeah.
They were kind of cruising to a pretty easy win. Javi Baez was hurt at that point, and David Bodie was playing shortstop.
Big games.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Exactly. Very big games. Were the Cubs on a little bit of a losing streak there, and that's why I wrote...
Hit or miss. I mean, we needed the wins either way.
And I'm pretty sure that's why I wore the jersey for the reverse jinx there. But I own one of those baby blue Phillies jerseys, and of course it's Harper. And I wore it to Kyle's that day. And the Cubs seemed like they were cruising to a pretty smooth victory that day. And then, of course, Bodie blows up, had his one error at short. Was it Kimbrel pitching in that inning that led up the home run? Not
him or Strope.
I would say I would assume at the end of the game like that, it probably would be Kimbrel.
Yeah,
but I guess.
Also if we were up, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd place blame without any facts in front of me. But
exactly, yeah. But And of course, blows up right in my face. Bryce Harper, walk off grand slam. I couldn't believe it.
And it sucks because before it happened, we're looking at each other like, if this happens,
Blake, you got to burn your jersey.
You got to get rid of it. 30 seconds later, game over, and it's just an awe. And you can't make these things up, and you hate
just
to see
legit
it.
Did not know what to say. I wanted to fucking go home and throw my jersey in the garbage, but it was.
I would have helped you. Yeah, just burn it. Yeah, but I mean,
sad state of affairs there.
Tough call to listen to by Pat and Ryan, our boys on that one. They were disappointed.
Oh yeah,
just along with us.
Oh yeah, but so season expectations moving on from the bullpen. I think possibly the biggest question that we're gonna have is the starting rotation, because I think the two that you can depend on. And I say we're depending on Darvish having a return season like he did last year. Given I've seen on social media people are saying that he's even looking better than what he did. That'd from last season, which is pretty hard to do what he was he was throwing out there.
You got to get the jitters out of the way with him. That's what it is. I know the first half of the season, it was like, just pitch half of your potential and we'll be happy. But, I mean, I remember last year, every time I tuned in, I could expect at least one or two runs given to the other team. Yeah. Either that is a wild pitch, giving up at least two home runs in the first three innings. It was just crazy. And, and hopefully he can just start out hot on the right hand.
He's got to be our ace.
He's your one, definitely. I mean,
then you move on to Hendricks. And Hendricks is usually a guy that...
You know what you got with him.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's one pitcher that we've been able to hang our hat on these past season. That's you can always depend on. Because, I mean, his type of pitching just really doesn't die out.
Exactly. He doesn't get old.
Doesn't throw too hard, not too soft.
Exactly.
He gets it where he wants.
You find all these pitchers losing velocity and stuff like that. And if he loses velocity, he's still going to pitch the same way.
Exactly.
If you can paint the black and if the umpire's giving it your way that day, which they usually do with him. Because, you know, umpires love that old style of pitching. Where if you can place it exactly where you want, they love that. So
Go ahead.
And just having him be your two pitcher, it's a pretty nice thing. But moving on from there, moving on to the rest of our kind of questionable rotation.
That's where it gets questionable.
Yeah, so you're moving on to your three of John Lester, what might have...
He's got to earn it.
Yeah.
Had a great career, what you want to call it, but I think, personally, and I don't know what you guys think, but he's got to earn it. I know last year was rough to watch. Every game is like, what Lester are we going to get today? I felt like last year we got a lot of bad side Lester.
I was going to say, and I mean, as of 4 or 5 years ago, if you're talking John Lester to be your three, you got a hell of a rotation going on.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to watch how David Ross, Lester's old personal catcher, handles him in the starting lineup and how that relationship plays out. But definitely a big question mark for Lester. Is age going to get the best of him, or is he going to return to the Lester of old? And
I know
it would be interesting.
I know. And speaking of return seasons, we're definitely need one out of this next pitcher in Jose Quintana. Mm. Just the trade, whatever you want to consider it, just completely screwed us over getting rid of Eloy. And
we won't talk about that, though.
No, we won't bring it up.
We're moving on.
moving on
from that. Q's our guy.
But there is points that I've seen positive out of Q. When he can stay consistent, let up 3 runs in 7 innings or something like that. That's all you can expect out of your four pitcher. And I mean, same thing that I said with Lester. If you're 3-4 years ago, you're saying Jose Quintana is your four pitcher. You got a pretty good rotation going on.
Well, in today's modern baseball, you 3-4 runs is nothing.
Exactly.
I mean, if he can keep it below three, and that's all we ask. And
should have a chance.
We're not asking that every night. Exactly. But if he can come out and give us 7 innings, maybe give up.
You talking the juice ball era or what?
I'm doing the allegations.
No speculation, but I mean, I think it goes without saying that it's just a little different baseball here.
Yeah, a little bit.
But you know, that doesn't help either, baby. That doesn't help. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that later.
We'll cover that in a later segment. But so moving on to our five pitcher, who we actually weren't aware who it was going to be coming in. But I mean, you had a little bit of a feeling it was going to end up being Chatwood. There was a couple other names involved for that. Alec Mills has been one that's went through the rotation quite a few times these past seasons. Mm-hmm. Kind of been your long reliever guy later in the season. And then another one name that was thrown around was possibly Azolé. I don't know how much stamina he's got, that they've been trying to move him to the bullpen more with how hard he throws. Mm-hmm. I feel like you possibly run into injuries with him if you try and move him over to a starting pitcher.
He's young too, and he's like 21.
Yeah, he's really young. So
he's got plenty of time.
Exactly,
I mean, it takes years to get where he's even at. So
for sure,
if he were to be able to build that arm stamina, or even move him to a bullpen, and you got a guy with high velocity, and is he a lefty?
Azolay? No, I don't he's believe not? So.
Mm-mm. Okay. Either way, you get him in there and maybe late innings.
Figure that out though. Yeah. Throw with left hand.
Hey, so, hey. You know?
But you get him in there, put him in the mix with Kimbrel and end games, you never know. But back to Chatwood, I think that based off last year, I love what he did. I wouldn't put him at – I like on day or guys' days off if they need another break. Like you'd fill him for Cole Hamels when he was out for a little bit.
Yeah.
He did excellent. I loved it. And he'd only come in 4 or 5 innings, but he'd give up less than 4 runs. Mm-hmm. And the year prior to that, we'd take that.
He came a long way since that 2018 season.
And that was rough.
Yeah.
I witnessed it firsthand when Rizzo hit that walk-off against the Diamondbacks. That was a rough game to watch prior, and I know do a whole 360 within
years.
So.
And just the potential of Chatwood, that when they brought him in, and even still to this day, that he's got some of the best spin rates in baseball, some of the most fastball movement in baseball, the stuff is there. If he can just locate a pitch, even just averagely locate pitches, he's going to be a good pitcher.
And he can hit. Let's not forget about that. You put him in there, he's going to hit the ball.
Always a plus.
And whenever we bring up a hitting pitcher, my mind always goes to Carlos Zambrano.
Exactly. Big Z.
One of my favorite players as a child. But
they're Chicago Dogs, right? That's where he's at now.
Get him in there. He's right now.
Well, he's on quarantine, hopefully. We got to protect him. But
obviously, protect Big Z at all costs.
I'd sacrifice Descalso for him, just saying. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Fair enough.
And so I guess moving into our lineup expectations, we're kind of going to do a lineup preview of sorts here, so we can kind of just transition into that. And for that preview, we're actually going to probably just compare the positions to other teams in the division. Of course, we'll be playing those teams out of the division the most when the season comes. But I feel pretty good about the lineup, if I'm being honest with you guys here.
The lineup itself, yes. When we get into the rotation, like we said, that's where all of the every single question mark is in the lineup or the rotation. And then you do, like Colin and I were talking, you do have some gray area between second and center, but
exactly. So I guess starting at the catcher position, we got Willie. Mm-hmm. And I'm expecting him to have a pretty
if he can avoid injuries, he's gonna be the number one guy in the league.
That's my backstop.
Yeah, that's our backstop. That is the backstop. So,
and then I guess comparing him, we're gonna kind of do going through each position. We're gonna kind of rank them in the division. So moving on to the Cardinals, even without clicking on it, you guys can guess who that is: Yadier Molina. Don't want to really cover him too much. Bitch, in my opinion. I know I'm going to get some Cardinals fans pissed off with that one, but I hope not too many Cardinals fans are listening to
respect
us.
Respect the game, but fuck them.
Fuck them.
You know?
Jesus, I can't stand the
he's
guy.
He's got some drip, though. Wearing that Jordan.
He's got the drip. Got the tar on his chest plate, catching baseballs with his chest plate.
He's got savvy.
So Cardinals up first there. Moving on to the Brewers. We have... God, what even is this first name? I think it's Omar Narváez.
Omar Narváez.
I said I'm not 100% sure on that. They just got him in a trade, actually, in this offseason. I've heard he's not too bad of a player. Couldn't tell you myself.
I couldn't tell you.
Just can't give you too much insight on that. Pirates, we were talking about the Pirates before we even started here. I told them both I'd give them $100 if they could name the starting lineup for the Pirates. But here we got Jacob Stallings. I've heard of him before. Honestly, couldn't tell you too much on him. I know he's not that good of a player, not a very good hitter. Might be more of a defensive-looking catcher for you there. And then moving on to the Reds, you got Tucker Barnhart. He's been in the division here for a while now. Mm-hmm. But honestly, names-wise there, just talking about him. Yachty, at his age, don't know if he competes with Contreras too much anymore. I'd take Contreras out of anybody in the division.
It's catches is one of those positions where every day it's somebody different. Thankfully for the Cubs, you got Caratini and Contreras. So on any day of the week, we're going to have somebody who knows how to catch and could compete in. And for any team, they could compete.
I was going to say, and on the point of Caratini, I've talked about this before with my dad, that Caratini could start on 75% of the teams in the league.
Because
the catcher position is not that strong in MLB right now, and Caratini is such a great hitting catcher right now.
You bet.
If he was an everyday player, you could guarantee he's going to go out there at 280, 290, and that's saying a lot for a catcher in today's game.
A lot of analysts or whatever you'd people who like to talk baseball for a living, they'd tell you that they would take Caratini over, you know, 80% of the league.
Exactly.
Such a variety of things he can do. So.
And there was a guy who's actually shown his worth here in spring training. I don't know if you guys have followed him much. Josh Fegley has had a heck of a spring training. Catcher they brought in from the A's.
Yeah. PH?
Yeah, with a PH. He's hit some home runs here in the preseason. Could possibly fight for a third catcher spot on the roster.
And you could always use it. Exactly. I mean, he brought Taylor Davis in for week there last year. He was a superhero.
What a name there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Chonk.
I guess moving on from catcher to first base, you guys already know who's here. The captain.
You bet.
Anthony
Put
Rizzo.
A C on his goddamn chest.
Put a C on his goddamn chest. And you already know what you're getting with Rizzo basically coming into the season. There might be a few cold stretches throughout the regular season, but he's going to hit around 280, 290, hit about 30-plus bombs for you. Knocking
around that 100
RBIs. So, he's always right around it, always top first baseman in the league around it. Moving on to the Cardinals, the newcomer from last year, Goldschmidt. And that's that's one player I can say that I got to say I'd probably take him over Rizzo because
he's
offensive numbers are just that step up from what Rizzo's
are. You hate to see
him
jump to our division. I know last year threw him along with Carpenter, and it was like, well, goddamn it. But he's just one of those players that – you got to pitch around.
Exactly,
he's tough.
Moving on to the Brewers. It looks like they're moving Ryan Braun to first base this year.
Cheater.
How is he going to cheat at first base?
Oh, man.
I'll still hit him. Put him in the lineup. I'm throwing at him.
Give him the Astros
treatment. Yeah,
But yeah,
not
a big fan of Braun. Yeah. I'm assuming they just did get another first baseman this offseason in Justin Smoke from he might have been playing for the Mariners. I'm not 100% sure on that. But he hasn't put up bad stats in past seasons, so he's going to platoon there with Braun. Braun, of course, can go to the outfield. Moving on to the Pirates. And there's probably your one star for the Pirates and Josh
Young
Bell.
Buck. He's hit the damn ball.
Yeah, the first base position in the Central is honestly pretty stacked.
I know last year they just came out of nowhere. He came out of nowhere to me.
Yeah.
I know we were all... He was in the MVP conversation towards midway through the season, then he kind of fell off. But he started out hot. And
I mean, you fall off playing for a team like the Pirates. I mean, where do you find the motivation when your team's 20 games under 500? But if you remember, when it was the All-Star break, Pirates were still in the division.
I mean, Central was up for grabs at that point.
I think every team was within like 5 games of first place. And, of course, moving on to the Reds, you guys can already guess this one, too. It's Votto. So, not a down spot, honestly, in the first base position in the NL Central. But rankings-wise, like I said, I hate to say it, I'd take Goldschmidt probably over Rizzo. But past the others, I'd take Rizzo over Votto at this stage in his career.
Definitely.
But, so moving on to second base. And here's the question for the Cubs here. Who's going to be starting at second base to begin the season? And I guess you guys can give your takes on this, too. I'm honestly hoping it's going to be a platoon of Horner and Kipnis.
Yep.
And something around that. Let Descalzo fucking rot on the bench.
I don't know why we have him. I don't know if it's for morale. I don't know what
contract.
He's doing. Contract. Yeah. Either way, there is a lot of gray area there. I think that with Horner being so young yet, they might start him out. I don't want him to, but I see them starting him out at AAA. I don't see them throwing him for the Wolves at Wrigley.
I mean, that's a lot
of pressure. Coming in at midseason is one thing, but just coming in the heat of things, especially now with the circumstances we're going through, I think it'll be Bodie and Kipnis, but I'd love to see Horner sneak in there. And
Bodie against lefties and Kipnis against righties. I think you could see that most of the season as
long as
they're producing.
Kipnis takes on that leadership role. Somebody's seen it all. Hopefully he can take Horner under his wing and hopefully mold him into a hell of a second baseman.
And say, the only thing is with bringing Horner on the roster, that it does help. We still don't have much shortstop depth, which we'll cover later. Because what we talked about that Phillies game, Bodie having to play short, that ended up burning them that day. But,
did you guys see the hype video for Horner a few months back? That was beautiful.
Did he use the word horny in it?
No. I was anticipating it, but it wasn't there. Hey, when you get a chance, watch it.
I missed out on a goddamn gold mine there.
Yeah, you want to run through a brick wall at that point.
Let's fucking get that trademark quick. Yeah, I think it's probably already trademarked somewhere.
Yeah, I'd hope so. Who else? We got second base here.
So second base, moving on. Cardinals, Colton Wong, been the
athlete. He's an athlete.
Been in the organization for a while now for the Cardinals. pretty strong left-handed bat. Yep. Actually brought some of the offense last year. Past years, he wasn't the best on offense, but was starting to bring it, pick it up last year. Brewers, moving on. A guy who had a hell of a rookie season, Keston Hiura for the Brewers.
Yep, and you hated to see it because he got hot again, I think a few times against the Cubs. I know we play him shit ton of times throughout the season, but I remember seeing him and Braun always stick with me because they're always putting in hits there and there.
Going to be a Cubs killer through the years, I'm sure. Moving on to the Pirates, we have...
Is it Adam? I think it's Adam.
You're right, Adam Frazier.
Sounds good.
I remember him playing against the Cubs, couldn't remember his first name, but a guy that slapped the ball around at the top of their lineup, had a pretty good average by the end of the season, what I remember, but I know he's pretty young too. Moving on to the Reds, they actually, going from somewhere else in the division with the Brewers now to the Reds, Mike Moustakas, not much of a glove there at second base, but he does bring a pretty good left-handed bat to the Reds.
Yeah.
So overall, second base position throughout the division, with the Cubs kind of being a, we're probably counting on a platoon of Kipnis and Bodie. I would definitely take Hira over most of what they have in the division right now. Past that, Wong, I'd say probably is about on the same level, and then Moustakas probably about on the same level as that.
Yeah,
so, it's a weak position.
Yeah, it is. And it is everywhere.
Yeah.
You very rarely you find second baseman.
And if he was great at second base, he's now at shortstop. So
pretty much.
It's just kinda.
And shortstop for the Cubs. I got him wearing his jersey right now. Mm-hmm. It's Almago.
Yep.
And expecting big things from him again this year. People always say they're gonna find out how to pitch to him, but he's adjusted. He proved his adjustment last year.
He's hitting that slider in a way. Exactly. He's gonna hit that ball.
If he can take balls to opposite field, he's one of the most elite hitters in the game.
He was going deep Oppo last year. He was sending him out of the park last year. We'll get the other players that were doing the same damn thing, and I'll get heated over there. But, Javi was hitting the ball last year, and as long as he can stay away from injuries, he's going to be one of the best in the
NL. Oh, for sure.
NL, so.
Moving on to the Cardinals, got Paul DeJong, and he's been with the Cardinals now for a while. He's killed the Cubs at some points. I'm pretty sure he had a down season last year. Average-wise, power-wise, not exactly expecting a lot, not knowing really what you're getting out of him this season. Brewers, you got Orlando Arcia, pretty good defensive shortstop. Honestly, in the past, I've called him a very poor man's Javi Baez. He doesn't make a lot of contact. Sometimes when he does, he hits for a pretty good amount of power, decent glove at shortstop. I thought they possibly would move on from him this offseason. There was talks about it, but sticking with him at the shortstop position. Pirates, Kevin Newman, another one of those young bats they just got this past year, hit for a lot of average. But again, with this Pirates lineup, you're going through these positions probably not knowing who a lot of these guys are unless you're kind of a diehard like we are, just watching games all throughout the season, probably not going to know who that name is. And then Reds, another offseason acquisition for them, Freddie Galvis. Mm-hmm. He was an ex-Philly. Again, more of a defensive guy, just not bringing a lot of offense to the table. So honestly, going through this division, I'm past Javi, not seeing a lot of...
Not much.
Nope.
Not Arcia, probably second there.
A lot of it's fielding now.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people can do what Javi does, but Javi does a little better of it.
Exactly,
He'll make them plays, but he's also going to hit the ball around the park.
Yeah.
So that's what separates him from the others is his athletic ability and hit the damn ball.
Yeah. Moving on to third base, which was the question of the offseason, who it was going to end up being. And
weight off our shoulders here.
And it is, of course, Chris Bryant. I'm glad to see him back.
And it's looking like he's going to be here for a minute.
Yeah.
It's not a 1 year and he's gone. It seems as if he's got it out there. He's cleared the air and he wants to be here. I know there was a lot of rumors prior to the Cubs convention and everything that he didn't want to be here.
Pay the man.
Yeah.
Pay the man,
and he
please.
Deserves it. And he'll. I have faith that he'll live up to it. But
I want to see him be a Cub for the long time future.
Absolutely.
It's been a guy I've enjoyed watching these past years. There's always seems to be some Chris Bryant haters out there after a while if he goes into a slump. But
a lot of overrated talk out there by not buying into it.
Overrated talk and just some of the stats that are put out there on like Twitter and stuff like that. He's been the third best player in baseball the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. Mookie Betts and what was the other name that was up there that I'm forgetting? Trout.
Trout.
Yeah. Trout and Betts were the only two that were above him in total WAR in the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. So one of the best players in baseball.
What do you guys think with Ross having him lead off this year?
Seems I love like
that's
it.
His plan.
I love it.
John likes it.
Get your best player more at bats.
Yep.
I've transformed more into that type of guy throughout these years now. I always used to be your more speedy contact guy, conventional guy to but Madden's kind of changed me through the years, him switching up his lineups and stuff like that, and more of the advanced analytics coming out, of course you're getting more at bats out of that first guy.
One thing I do hope Ross takes from Madden is putting that pitcher in the 8 spot, so now you have KB leading off, have maybe Almora on base, you know, you get Hap on base in front of him. You hit the gap, they're going to make it around the
base. Yeah, and I think he's going to get plenty of RBI opportunities because that's always the main thing against it. He's not going to get that many. He proved in the spring training that when the bottom of the lineup can come through, he's going to get his chances.
Yep. And with the lineup that we will have, we're going to have bats in there. So there's going to be people on base. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for him. And the people who are worried about it aren't thinking big picture and people.
Yeah.
They're thinking the typical lineup you got here, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
And shout out to Don Frederick. Would start off every game 2-0.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Moving on to the Cardinals at third base, a guy who came on late in the season, Tommy Edman, and actually one of the Cardinals that I actually, unfortunately, enjoyed watching last year. He's I can put it on the table right now. I'm saying that he's going to be a 300 hitter, excellent defender, top of your lineup guy. It's unfortunate to see out of the Cardinals, of course.
Yeah.
But he's going to be a goddamn good ball player.
Yeah.
That's. I thought the same thing about Bader on their team originally when he came up to the big leagues.
Yeah.
But I've talked to a few of my friends that are Cardinals fans, and they think that Edman is different just because he's shown so much at the plate that Bader never did. Once pitchers figured out Bader, he was shut down.
Then
so.
The question is, what do you do with Carpenter? Because the year prior to last year, I know last year was a god-awful year for him. But the year prior, you can't. I mean, that was only a year and a
All-star
half ago.
That year.
He was a dog.
Yeah.
So what do you do now? I think you could still trade him.
If they were to
come to that, you could trade him and give value.
And I mean, he is a platoon guy too. He can play the outfield, first, third base, second base, anywhere you really need him to. And Brewers, third base, pickup of the offseason, Eric Sogard, this player the Cubs looked at, just kind of your contact guy, not really anything too impressive. Going to, of course, play some average defense for you. Not exactly expecting a lot out of that position for the Brewers. Pirates, Colin Moran, another guy that's just recently came up to the Pirates, younger guy, hit for a pretty good average last year. And then the Reds, lastly, at third base, a Cub killer last year, and Eduardo Suarez. Yeah.
How many wins did we have against Cincy last year? Not many.
They had our number.
We had very few wins against a team who was kind of struggling as well. You don't like to see it, especially, we'll get to it, but them coming up with the bullpen they have.
Yeah, Reds are going to be a scary team.
Yeah.
Out of these positions that we've already covered, they've had some pretty good names already.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll cover him here in a bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Suarez, with the bombs he hit last year, I don't anticipate him slowing down. That's a pretty good position there for them. I'd say Suarez is getting up there. He's not quite to the level of Bryant yet.
Yeah.
But Edman, so a position rising up for the NL Central there with Edman and Suarez.
Third base.
Colin Moran's even not a bad name there either. But so I guess moving to the outfield now, which was kind of in question coming into the Cubs in this offseason, but we're kind of know what we're getting out here now.
Mm-hmm.
We got Kyle Schwarber in left field, which some people hate, some people absolutely love him. But defense, you know, is always kind of going to be kind of in question with
him.
That's
fair. Yeah.
But offensively, you can almost guarantee if he stays healthy and gets enough games played out there, I don't know what Ross is exactly going to do with the outfield, if he's going to be playing most games or if he's going to be platooned with somebody else. But if he's playing a majority of the games, depending on how many they play, if they're playing a normal MLB season, you can almost guarantee on him hitting 40-plus bombs.
Yep.
Just
imagine him playing all the games he should have been last year. I know Madden, this is what I'm talking about. You play the players that need to be playing. Madden wasn't playing Schwarber, saying he can't face left-handed batters. He's taking them. No, he was hitting bombs oppo on him last year. And he just, if he would have played 10 more games last year where he could have, he would have had 40-plus. I think he had 38 last year. Something. You put him in there, it looks good.
Oh, yeah. And then, so moving on, and there's going to be a platoon of outfielders. Yeah. We're just covering what they have as the depth chart right now. We might cover a few of the outfielders at the end that are going to be playing some ball for the Cubs, too. And left field, we got Tyler O'Neill for the Cardinals. Honestly, can't tell you too much about him. I heard of him a bit last year. He's not too bad of a hitter, what I remember. Brewers.
Well, it's no Ozuna.
Yeah, very true, very true. Left field, Christian Yelich.
Yep.
Hell of a ball player there.
You want to hate him.
You do.
You want to hate him.
I know all three of us are, pardon my take, listeners, and it's kind of making it even harder for us to not like the guy.
Pretty cool guy.
Yeah, pretty cool
guy.
Big
dog guy, right?
Yeah.
Big dog guy. You can't hate a guy who loves a dog.
You can't.
You can't do it.
But counting on the way he's played since he's became a Brewer, you can count on him hitting 40-plus bombs, batting over 320. I'm wondering if that's ever going to die down for him, but he's in the prime of his career, so I don't anticipate it.
And he's looking at a contract extension. Did he already get that? A 7-year, right?
Well, I thought it was... I thought they signed him through a 45-year-old, when he's going to be a 45-year-old, honestly.
It's crazy.
I was honestly talking with my dad today that... Mets player that's still getting Bobby Bonilla.
Oh, from like 50 years ago.
Yeah, he's still getting paid to this day.
Yeah, and he's not just getting paid. He's getting like a salary's worth every year.
Yeah,
so yeah.
Know your money, folks.
Get the right agent.
Yeah.
Moving on to the Pirates, Brian Reynolds. Don't know a lot about him, to be honest with you.
It's a good baseball name.
It is.
Good baseball name.
Pirates. A lot of these guys, I'm honestly not even sure who most of them are. Reds moving on to Jesse Winker. Honestly, couldn't tell you a lot about him, being honest with you either. But so moving on from there, the left field position, of course, Yelich is going to be your top dog there. But beyond him, I'd probably take Schwarber.
Yep.
In
a bat perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Produce wise.
Yeah. An okay silver medal coming up second to Christian Yelich. Yeah. And moving on to center field, we got Ian Happ. I'm probably going to be platooning with Alberto Mora. Yeah,
big question mark there, I'd say, for the Cubs. Who's going to produce there?
I like to see him with the team now as compared to last year. He came in like midway through the season.
Yeah, I think that's just tough psychologically. Yeah. You're always getting sent back to Des Moines. And if he can
get back in the groove with the boys, and I think he will, he'll be fun to watch.
And possibly MVP of the spring training so far was Alberto Mora.
Yeah. Well, the first 3-4 games.
Yeah, yeah.
Until it got canceled, he was doing well.
Yeah.
He was hitting the ball, and he changed up his hitting style as well, I believe.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And anything to improve his hitting, because I was all the way out on Elmore as of last season. My dad wanted to stay a believer in him. The fielding, you're always going to get the fielding with him. But hitting-wise, any changes that he could make in the offseason were going to be an improvement for him, so... Cardinals in center field. I talked about Bader a little bit before. Kind of has died down in the hitting department, but a guy that's going to go hard every day out there for the Cardinals. Kind of a speed guy out there. Good defender. Brewers. Kind of been a Cubs killer in his career that he's been at the Brewers. Lorenzo Cain. Always count on him to hit for a pretty high average. I think it died down a little bit this past season, him kind of getting up there in age a little bit. But Pirates moving on to Jerod Dyson. We discussed him a little bit, like, off recording. Speed guy they brought in. They got rid of Marte this offseason. The Diamondbacks. That's, of course, a big loss for them because he was probably the best player beyond Bell on in their lineup.
Yep.
And just a speed guy. Don't hit for very much average in Jerod Dyson. It'll
be nice what that team can put together. Just based off their roster, see what they're... I mean, they're not going to be anywhere high, but... To see it shaking up like that and see what they can produce will be interesting.
And Reds, we got
Nick Senzel. Yeah, he's an athlete. He's gritty.
Yeah.
He's like one of them boys from the Dodgers. I can't think of his name.
Peterson?
He actually may have got traded to the Red Sox. Can't think of him off the top of my head. But he was in the Mookie Betts trade as well. But that's what he reminds me of, gritty and... He's
not Peterson? Put the ball in play. No, Jock Peterson?
No. Maybe he wasn't even an outfielder, and I'm just drawing a blank. But go ahead, and I'll come back.
I gotcha. Doing some research on that quick. And one person you could possibly see in center field for the Reds, of course, Michael Lorenzen, the do-it-all guy.
Yeah. What an athlete there.
Exactly. God, that's damn. Yeah, just a.
That's impressive.
He's a brute.
He is.
He's a brute.
Fucking huge guy.
Intimidating. I wouldn't want to face
him. They have him playing center field, and he sprints into pitch. Yeah. Sometimes I think they're just showing him off, but I mean, the guy can do it. He can hit. He
might
can
as field. Well.
He can pitch. Yeah. Your ultimate five-tool guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so that's covering the center field position. Not a whole lot going on at the center field position in the NL Central. I might give it to Kane, but I mean, Happen
he's
on Mora
as well. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't bitch about having Happen on Mora over him.
Yep. Yeah.
And moving on to right field, going to be probably more of a platoon this year with Hayward and Souza. Mm-hmm. Souza coming in can hit the lefties actually pretty damn well. Because that was the season that they're kind of relying on with the signing of him in 2016, 2017, something like that. He hit like 330 against lefties, and that was his one real good season that he had. So they're counting on that, bringing him in. Hayward can face most of the righties. Do what he can do. He did have a hot start to last season, I remember.
It was more towards like right before All-Star break, he started going off, and everybody, I mean, if for what he brought to the table the year prior, it was amazing to see just him being a groove, and he was a reliable bat. I think we were under 500 during that span.
I remember he got some starts in the leadoff spot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and he had that. He held us afloat for a little bit because he came up with some big hits. He was on fire, and we didn't make it to the playoffs, but if any of those would have went the other way, it would have been nice.
Yeah. And moving on to the Cardinals, we got the ex-Cub, Dexter Fowler.
Yeah.
He's kind of went downhill since he's left the Cubs.
Produced too much. Mm-hmm.
He got that money.
So yeah, and then he was content with that. A newcomer in for the Brewers in right field, Avisail Garcia. He used to actually be on the south side. He hit a pretty good average when he was on the White Sox. The only reason I remember that is because I had him on my fantasy team in the one AL-only fantasy league that I'm in. I had him, and he can take a laugh at that. I don't care because I got involved in that a couple of years ago. Hey, and then it started as a league of all these older guys that were all AL fans, but now it's the fact the matter of there's five newcomers in, and they're all either Cubs or Cardinals fans.
Yeah.
So we kind of want to try and get that expanded because I guess I learned enough about the AL now, though.
Yeah,
so.
That's good.
He's not going to be a bad bat for them. Pirates, Gregory Polanco. I'm doing too much talking. But he's been a pretty good player for them in the past as long as he can stay out of trouble. I remember he had a suspension either last year or the year before. But he's a pretty good bat for them. And then for the Reds.
Last but not least.
Love you.
Nick Castellanos.
For the short time period we spent with him.
Oh,
it was
amazing. I loved
it. It was hot.
And you hate to see how it ended.
Yeah.
He was a great bat that we could have just...
the hustle that he put on.
Yeah, just the type
of
ball. He wanted to play baseball.
Yes.
And the rest of the team didn't. That's what it was about.
New age fans loved him. Old age fans loved him.
Everybody loved Nick.
Jesus. Hit tanks. Just ran all over the field. Some people were saying coming in that he wasn't that good of a defender. He never really messed up in the field when he played for the Cubs.
And if he did, he would have made up for it.
He carried the offense by himself pretty much in the second half of the season. Yeah. That's just a name I couldn't believe the Cubs didn't bring back in the offseason. That was the one I did want him to bring back, and I wouldn't have cared if they wouldn't have done anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be a big loss.
Going to miss him a lot.
We'll see how it plays out, though. Maybe he'll have a decline.
Yeah. I hope he plays well.
But, I'd say Castellanos is probably your best player.
Based off the end of the season he had last year, absolutely.
And we visited the rotation a little bit, and so I guess we can visit the rest of the rotations in the Central, of course, you got Flaherty coming back off an extremely
great
good
season,
year for the Cardinals. Daniel Hudson, Mikolas, Wainwright, and then I think the fifth starter is kind of in question for them right now. It might be Carlos Martinez returning to the rotation for them. Not a bad rotation for the Cardinals at all, and you always can count on them to have a pretty good rotation.
Flaherty's solid.
Brewers, this was one that I was actually in my hours that I was spending at Comanche's, huge Cubs fan there. And I told him, I was like, I bet any money I got in my wallet that you can't name the five starters for the Brewers right now. And going through them, I'm not going to know anybody but...
Brett Anderson.
Yeah,
Anderson.
Two of these.
Oh, yeah.
Brett Anderson and Woodruff, I know them too. But past that, there's an Adrian Hauser that I think came up through their farm system a little bit. And then these last two names, Lindblom and Lauer. I honestly couldn't tell you anything about them. Matt Lauer. Pirates got Chris Archer. Hasn't exactly been what they thought he was going to be coming in.
Well, it might be the atmosphere as well.
Yeah,
I that too. Pitching's so difficult because you get these studs. Granted, you have the Mets pitchers and all them guys, but you get over in our division where you get some hot teams, some Pirates teams.
Yeah.
And what do you pitch for?
Exactly.
It's tough to do. Yeah. I can't imagine pitching and just having no chance to start off the bat, so maybe it's the atmosphere.
Yep. Musgrove, their two pitcher, he's actually a young up-and-comer for them, had a pretty good season last year. Then past that, I think that's
Trevor Williams.
I've heard of him before. I couldn't really tell you too much about him. And then Keller and that Derek Holland.
Yeah.
I was just going to say.
Cubs legend.
Yep.
Brought him
hanging in the rafters.
Expecting him to come in and pitch to lefties and couldn't pitch. Well, we started him out pitching against righties too, and then he let up a home run every time that he pitched against a righty, and then he couldn't pitch to lefties either. Actually, now that I'm remembering, coming back to our Philly story, he was the one pitching against Bryce Harper.
Was he?
Yeah, it was.
I'd rather be him than somebody else.
Yeah, because they brought him in to face the lefty, and he let up the grand slam. Yeah,
hopefully he continues being
Not on him.
Reds rotation.
Good.
This is going to be tough.
Solid. Yeah,
tough.
Castillo is going to be – he was a hell of a player last year, going to be a definite ace for them this year.
Sonny Gray
had a return season with them from where he was heading. He's going to be a good pitcher. Trevor Bauer, this is one of the most underrated pitchers in the league.
Yep.
Dave Scalafani, he's been a guy that's been with them for a while, kind of a consistent pitcher. And then Wade Miley, they just brought in this offseason. That's a pretty damn good rotation. And just with the Cubs having so many questions in their rotation, I'd definitely take the Reds rotation over them, the Cardinals rotation, but then Brewers and Pirates, definitely not. Yep. So coming up in a third place there for the Cubs pitching rotation around. But I think what we've covered here, it's going to be an interesting season for the Cubs, that's for sure.
I think it'll be as gritty as it was last year coming down to the
end.
It's going to be an exciting division.
And it's going to go one or two ways. We're going to be up there, we're not going to meet the expectations, and we're going to be at the bottom half. But I think as long as our rotation figures it out and they pull together a little bit, I think our bullpen would where we could be. It'd be nice.
I say count on the Cubs, or Cubs being up there, the Cardinals being up there, and the Reds being up there. I wouldn't quite count on the Brewers being up there just because of the rotation questions, and then the Pirates are not going to be good this year. No. I can tell you that right now. So it's definitely going to be those three top the division. Going through these lineups and stuff, there's definitely some – it's like John said, it's going to be a tough division coming up. And we've got a little ad here for you. And we're back with the last segment we got for you guys. And – just some bold takes if you guys got any for this. If you guys got any bold takes written down. I'm just kind of firing off the cuff here. So if you got one for me, go
right ahead. I got one. This is maybe just a hometown bias. Not really a hometown, but just area bias. Colin Ray.
Ooh.
He's a pitcher in the farm system. Won like the PCL Pitcher of the Year. He's with the iCubs now. He's kind of an older guy. But I'm going to say he's going to play a role in the bullpen late in the season. They're going to call him up due to injury or lack of performance. He's going to come and show
how's he gonna do?
He's gonna do well. Oof. He's a Cascade boy. Went to don't know where he went to college, I suppose. But
he was with the Padres for a little bit.
Yeah, he was with the Padres for a while, and then did real well in the farm system last year for the Cubbies. So I'm calling. He's gonna make a debut. Gonna do pretty well.
I could see that. I'm pretty sure if I got my facts right here, he was AAA pitcher of the year last year.
Yep.
And he's definitely an up and comer for the Cubs. I definitely could agree with that and see that happening. My bold take is that David Ross is going to make people forget what the manager Joe Maddon was. I feel like he's going to step in first year, be a heck of a manager, and do a lot of the things that Maddon messed up with. And the reason I say this is because Joe Maddon is just a strictly player manager, one of the best in the game. He knows how to handle personalities. He knows how to let players be players. In-game manager, in my opinion, in his time with the Cubs, was fucking dog shit horrible.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand the day-to-day not knowing what the lineup was going to be. I couldn't stand the And I know that's not today's game with bunting and stuff like that anymore, but just some situations where it needed to be done, yeah. They refused to do it. No stealing of bases. I know that's another thing against today's analytics where you don't want to give up outs, yeah, on stealing bases, but we got a couple guys that could steal 20-plus bases, and they never do. You can't tell me Javi couldn't have done that.
Javi could swipe some bags.
Yes. Yeah. The fact with that, the way he utilized the bullpen, I know he can't go out there and pitch with a bullpen, but there was just so many questionable situations that he put out there, and I just couldn't believe it, but... In-game managing-wise, David Ross is going to be 10 times better than Joe Maddon ever was.
It's going to be tough.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see it. I want to see it.
And yeah, I love it. I love the hire.
Definitely. Yeah. I think he's going to be a great fit. It seems like all the players are just – some people were suspecting that he couldn't come in and be a manager having played with him before, but – not saying on the same level as David Ross, but even me coming in as a first-year coach.
I would say you're definitely on the level
of David Ross. I'd say I'm on the level of David Ross someday. but coming in and having to coach baseball for the varsity team my year after I just got done with my freshman year of college, I can definitely tell that David Ross has the respect of those players already. They're going to listen to him, what he has to say. And he had that leadership role with the Cubs already beforehand, and that just doesn't change. And David Ross isn't going to change who he is, and he's going to fit in extremely well and make this team run right.
Any hot and spicy ones, Trevor?
Jeez, if I had to have to deal with the pitching staff, and I'm hoping that a good take would be that I'm hoping that he has not a breakout year, but he contributes to the pitching staff, and it might not be too hot, but I feel like if we can get anything from him, it'd be huge, putting him in at the end of the rotation, or if he's coming in through the bullpen and doing work there. But if he were to do that, that'd be big time for the Cubbies. So
definitely. Fair enough. I guess that's about to the end of it. We hope the MLB season's here.
A lot of uncertainty still, but we're going to be ready.
Some baseball is better than no baseball at all.
Yeah,
so.
And that's the plan. When the season does start, we're going to plan on recording once a week. It gives us enough content through the amount of games that go on in the MLB season. We can cover those games. We'll cover over best moments from that week. We'll cover over who played well in those games, stuff like that, major topics of MLB baseball, anything like that. But, of course, we'll see when this actual season comes around.
Before we cut it, do we want to speak about the Astros quick?
I was just
going
to say that.
Or we want to add in the Astros part?
Consensus, fuck the Astros.
Yeah, I think we had to get it out there.
Whatever you got to do.
And how do we feel about the no suspension thing? Because I actually like them not suspending them. I think I want them to, it's like kind of like going to prison for your whole life instead of getting killed instead of going to prison. You want them to suffer. So they're not going to suffer on the side. I love what they're doing now.
I don't mind what they did about it. I don't like some of the statements that Manfred had to come out and say about it.
That was pathetic. I think he should have went the route like, no, we'll make them suffer because the fan, they can't promote that, of course, being like beamed and... The fans aren't happy.
They're going to get booed.
It kind of sucks. And I mean, you see Alex Rodriguez, guys like that, they got the death penalty.
Exactly.
And you got a whole team, whole organization doing this stuff.
Yeah.
You just hate to see
not
it.
Not good for the game. Definitely going to be some pitches coming.
It'll be fun to watch as long as we get the season. Even next year. Say we don't get a season and this is the last pod we record. Yeah. Next year we'll be talking about how excited we are to see Altuve get hit.
Bregman, for sure. You know, that just comes along with it.
Maybe be a segment. We'll just update how many times they've been hit by pitches. Yep. Hit by pitch count.
If we saw the best sign against the Astros during that week, something like that. We'll keep you updated on that.
Yes.
But here we are, signing off for hopefully not a very long time. But this has been Bleed Cubby Blue. Love you guys.